handle the truth.
Should we or should we not follow the advice of the galactically stupid?
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes. You know why? You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy.
Clearly, don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks.
Welcome everybody to a bonus episode of the Righteous Brick Podcast. I am your host, J.L. Covan. It is 8:30 a.m. Eastern on March 3rd in the year of our Lord 2022. And this is the post-surgery update. Okay, everybody. Had meniscus surgery yesterday. The tear has been repaired. I'm now just drinking OxyContin. I'm not taking any Oxy yet today, but man, oh man, it feels good. It feels good. I can see why white trash people love it. In 2020, I was running, trying to lose weight. I was like in the 290 range. And I was like, I got to lose weight. And the gyms are closed because we're in the middle of a pandemic just started. So running is a good way to lose weight and get cardio and get some sun. And about 2 weeks into running, I was finally starting to get like my cardio up. I was running like a mile and a half before my fucking lungs were giving out. Because it was just I was in bad shape and overweight, which is a horrible combo. And then all of a sudden, my left knee just started feeling sore as fuck. And like it was not even like once warmed up, I could run and not feel pain. But once I like sat down for the day and then tried to get up, the pain was like off the charts. But because of toxic masculinity, folks, I didn't get that checked out for a while. No, I just figured I needed to lose weight. I was like, I didn't feel anything pop. I didn't feel anything like sudden. And then I, you know, as we followed my journey in 2021, when my weight got all the way up to 317, I said, okay, I don't want to die. This is getting a little dicey. You know, you're now a 6'7" overweight guy in his 40s. You're no longer just like, I drank a lot of beer and ate a lot of turkey subs this semester, but I'll fucking lose all that weight, bro. Weight room, bro. This is a different, you know, JL, middle age. It's weird to say middle age because I don't feel, but you know, 42, middle age, and for a 6'7", 260 pound guy, I'm a senior citizen, probably. But can I get an AARP card for big people? So I lost the weight, and the knee started feeling much better. Like when I would go for my long walks, it didn't hurt, but I wasn't running. But it's just every so often there'd be a little flare up, a little pain. I said, okay, something here. Obviously, it wasn't just weight. There's an injury here. So went to my doctor, who used to be a doctor with the Nets. So I figure that's how you're going to get me, is when I realize you've worked on taller, bigger, and more athletic people than me. I figure, okay, you can handle a Division III bench warmer turned angry, bitter comic. So he looked at it and said I had a large tear in the meniscus. And then yesterday, I think the surgery was called like a meniscopic, like a meniscectomy or something. And I'm like, what is it? If, as soon as you add ectomy, it always sounds like something involving like, I don't know what it is, but women. I just feel like it just, it's like a weird suffix, but obviously it doesn't mean that. But I was like, is everything just an ectomy? But so I was going to have the surgery in December, but then I said, I have tour dates that took miracles to put together. Like, I don't think, I know I've stressed this to you guys, but I don't think people would realize the difficulty in just getting booked and then actually stringing together good nights of gigs, like Thursday night gigs and getting one in between Jazz home games and booking an LA show and getting that Chicago on a Thursday instead of like on a Tuesday and et cetera, and getting that gig in Northern California. It was just, it was a very difficult thing to put together. And I said, if I have this surgery, now, as it turns out, good news, if you've been paying attention to this podcast, the recovery will be the shorter recovery. I'm on a cane, and it should be like a week or two on a cane, and then I can start rehabbing, and then hopefully in April, walking and running. So that's the good news. But the problem was, because I am such a believer in worst case scenarios happening to me, CEG lip sync, I just assumed when the doctor, I said, what are the odds that something big? He goes, well, once I get in there and actually clean it up, you know, there is a chance that I'll see more damage, and it could be the kind of meniscus surgery where I don't have to just heal the tear, but actually reattach it. Like if it's come undone from both ends, basically, that would be a, you know, you drill a hole into the other side of the bone, you reattach it there, and then you're 6 weeks on crutches, like cannot put pressure on it, et cetera, until it's healed. So I had like my DC gig lined up. I had like my DC improv gigs. I had all those January gigs. And if this surgery in early December turned out to be the 6 week surgery, the 6 week recovery, I might have had to cancel some or all of those gigs. So I said, let's put it off. Let's just put it off till March. So if it is the worst case scenario, I'm okay. But it turns out it's a better case scenario. Now, what I will get, I will tell you some fun stories and then let you go. But I just figure my fans really need to know what's going on with me. And I was hoping to be high on Oxy, to be honest, for this episode. But I took a bunch yesterday and it really helped. It's like a hug from a best friend. No, it just feels warm. And the good thing is, unlike the usual sleepiness I get, which is that fidgety sleepy, where you're like, I gotta get to bed. Fuck, I'm drowsy. Oxy just like puts you to sleep, like in a comfy way. Like I'm like falling asleep on my couch last night, but not in a, oh God, I gotta get to bed. It was more like, hey, if I fall asleep here, who gives a shit? This feels good. My leg is, my knee is elevated per doctor's instructions. Let's just go to sleep here for a little bit on the couch. But then I woke up in the middle of the night and had to take some more Oxy. Just a oxymoron. Is that a good title for the show? I had to take more, but it helped me get to sleep. But now I'm in very little pain. You know, it's like yesterday it was like a, like when I woke up, it was like a 7.8. This morning it's like a 2. So I'm like, there's no reason in pumping the opioids into my system if I'm only like a 2. But I'm secretly hoping the pain gets a little worse so I can pop a couple more of those bad boys. Not afraid of sharing his addiction origin story with the podcast. So that's that. And that's good news. The next surgery I'll have to probably tell you about is when I get my hand looked at. Because I came very close to breaking my hand on a Dell computer in December. I didn't, according to x-rays, but my right hand is still in a lot of odd pain. So I think there is soft tissue damage. So the next thing I'm going to have looked at is my hand, because we are going to 2022. We don't know if it's our last year with premium level health insurance. So it's time to get everything upgraded, everything looked at, you know, look at my teeth, look at my hand, look at my knee, look at my ass. Everything is getting taken care of this year. This season, I handle all family business. So there's your medical update. But anyway, I get to the hospital, And I have to say, I know everybody always talks about the hospital for special surgery. That's like the premium kind of joint and limb replacement shit in New York City. But my doctor was at the Midtown Surgical Center, and I gotta say, loved it. I've never, now I've been to many doctors with my mom in the last few months regarding her breast cancer, and it was it's so funny to me in a weird way that the pre-surgical process, identical. Don't eat after midnight, don't drink after midnight. Come in, fill out all these questions, we'll prep you, we'll do this. And it's like, for me, it's like, please fix this tear in the meniscus of my knee. And for my mom, it's like, please save my life from this aggressive breast cancer. And we go through the exact same process. But I get there and everybody's super nice. The anesthesiologist was like cracking a lot of jokes, and I had a good vibe with her. And then she said to me something that, as if I was really nervous going into surgery. Confession time, folks. Okay, this is why you listen to the Righteous Prick podcast. This is where you get the real scoop on what's going on inside of JL's fucked up head. I was very nervous because it was my first time having surgery. And, you know, you're getting anesthesia. It was general anesthesia, so I was going to be knocked out. And, of course, in my head, I'm going, well, of course, I'll be the guy. Where it's like, we didn't know he had an allergy to anesthesia, and all of a sudden he was in cardiac arrest, and like I wake up 3 months later, if I wake up at all, like from a coma. And, you know, just all those scenarios run through my head. But the staff was so friendly, everybody, the nurses, it was like pleasant and fun and nice. And the anesthesiologist comes in, we're talking, and she dropped a couple F-bombs, and I was like, okay, this is my kind of anesthesiologist. But then she said something to me before she said, okay, confession. She says, when we all saw your chart and we were like 6'7", oh, he must be a basketball player. And then we looked you up and it was so much better than that. You are so hilarious. We were watching your videos. Your stuff is so funny. And I was like, well, I hope it's not a problem with me having an erection when I go in for this knee surgery because I am fully aroused. Thank you very much. Am I even having surgery today? I'm so at ease. So that was a wonderful. And then my other nurse was like, where do you perform? And I was like, well, my next gig, I cleared my schedule, but my next gig is at Helium in Buffalo. She's like, I've been there. I'm from Buffalo. I'll tell my friends. And I was like, you probably won't, but guess what? I think I just came because my goodness, this medical staff is just, it's music to my ears. It was just, we're fun, we're friendly, we're putting you at ease. Oh, and by the way, we love your comedy, and I'd love to get my friends there to support you. Now, her friends probably won't show up, this nurse's friends, but that's besides the point. At that time, this staff could do no wrong. So I get walked into the surgery place, and it's a surreal thing because it's like this is these people's jobs, but it's like one of the biggest moments of my life. I know it's just knee surgery, but it's still, you know, you can't help but be a little nervous going under. And I sit down, and Who's Crying Now is playing by Journey, because my doctor is probably, if I had to guess, I would just guess he's no offense if he's younger than this, but I would guess late 50s, so thereabouts. I know he has a kid at Middlebury, so like that's like that would put him, you know, okay, like if he has a kid in Middlebury, it could be like mid 50s, late 50s, assuming he didn't like start having kids like right out of medical school. But whatever, the point is, I then cracked my final joke before going under. I said, "Who's crying now?" That's a weird song for me to hear before I go night night. And then they just started putting the stuff in my vein through the IV. And the next thing I know, I'm waking up groggy in the recovery room. It was fascinating. It was absolutely fascinating because there wasn't even that, like my uncle who had several surgeries. He always told me, I think we had in common a difficulty with sleep, but he would always tell me, he's like, it's amazing. They just tell you to count down from 10. You don't even get to like 6. And then you just wake up and everything's done. And I was like, fuck yeah, that's what happened. So can't recommend Midtown Surgical Center enough. I mean, obviously I had a very basic surgery, but arguably my most fun and enjoyable medical experience ever. As weird as that sounds. So now I've got to use up some more sick and vacation days. So We're basically in a race against time to see if I can leave my day job before the end of the year, because otherwise, from July to December, it's pretty much going to be no vacation days whatsoever. But the knee is on the mend, and when I'm done with this podcast, I'm going to elevate it, watch some, finish up season one of Peacemaker, which I am enjoying. John Cena is a real star. I enjoy it. I don't think it's the greatest show ever, but because I've heard that, like, some people going absolutely nuts for it. But I do. It is a definite, definitive thumbs up. But yesterday, because I was not feeling well for obvious reasons and was just kind of sitting with my leg up on the couch, we watched all four parts of We Need to Talk About Cosby on Showtime. And pretty good. Pretty good. It's a weird thing. I guess I can't say I enjoyed it, but I thought it was a very devastating portrayal. And as Jelani Cobb of The New Yorker said during the documentary, he was like, is it possible that, like, because what I said to the Righteous Girlfriend, who of course was the real MVP yesterday, just left work early, picked me up, brought me home, made all my meals, prepped everything for me today so I could, like, do minimal activity while stuck here. But I said, I wonder if Cosby is, if it's just like he has a split personality where he really cares about black issues and education, and he's also a serial rapist, or if it was all a constructed front to cover up his serial raping, because he was serial raping before he ever got any interest or any kind of philanthropy about him. But it was, I mean, man, it is, hats off to W. Kamau Bell, who directed it, because it was, and what's so great about it is I still found myself laughing hysterically when they played clips of Bill Cosby himself. And it really does justice in every way to Cosby's cultural impact, his talent, and his horrific character. And you really, it is as full a portrait. And at the end of it, you have to come to the conclusion, oh, yeah, he's a horrible human being. Like, he is a horrible person. And, I mean, because he was, I mean, it just seems like, you know, the saying is, you know, rape isn't about sex, it's about power. And I feel like Bill Cosby proves that to a T, because the more famous he got and the richer he got, it seemed the more brazen and the more victims he racked up. Like, it almost felt like correlated. Like, he gets some fame, and one of the stories is from this, like, beautiful Playboy playmate who had lost her son, and then, like, a month later gets, like, drugged and raped by Cosby. And you're just like, oh my, like, the fact that that woman was still alive, that, and I say this with all sincerity and sympathy, the fact that she didn't take her life speaks to her strength, because I'm not, it's just one of those things where you're like, wow, I can't, like, imagine in the same month you lose your child, which guts you to the core forever, and you also get raped by Bill Cosby. That, I feel like, could break everybody. But Women are strong as fuck, and I'm reminded of that because my response to my meniscus surgery is pretty much identical to my mom's two knee replacements. And I'm just like, God, my mom is tough as fuck. Like, I'm such a bitch. And if you're interested in more material like that, please listen to my number one iTunes selling album, Israeli Tortoise, 2016's Israeli Tortoise. Israeli Tortoise is basically a code for woman. And it's in a complimentary way, meaning they're like Israel in that the world is sort of dangerous for them at all times. And they're like tortoises because they march towards life slow and steady. But by the time they get to the end of life, they are strong and winning the race, and men are crippled and dead. That's just a summary of the joke, but it's a joke I was very proud of. Okay, so surgery went well. Best case scenario, it seems. Like, you know, I'll be... It's a good thing. And I'm not feeling any pain right now, guys. So I feel like I'm just going to have to not take any more oxy, which is disappointing. You know, maybe I'll just take one for fun. What do you think, guys? It's not a slippery slope, right? Yeah. Anyway, so we watched Cosby. I'm watching Peacemaker. I guess that's it. I guess I just was giving you guys an update, you know, because, oh yeah, that's the thing on social media. Yeah, I posted a picture of me in my hospital bed. And of course it went like, it got like action that very few of my tweets have gotten recently. And I was like, is this how I have to now promote shows? Like that? So my fans won't see anything about a show or a video or a fucking funny joke I write. But if I'm in the hospital, so I think every show post I have from now on has to be like a picture of me in a severe state of pain or injury. So I'm going to like, that's how I'm going to improve my social media numbers. Like I'm going to like break my arm and be like, guys, I'm in a lot of pain. But if you want to heal that pain, come see me in Buffalo on April 26th. So I guess that's it. Anything else to report? No, just giving you guys an update. Subscriber update only. It's so fun when basically you can make a bonus episode that only your subscribers like anyway, whatever. I was about to bitch and complain, but no, let's not do that. I have a call with my accountant later today, but I will not be giving you a bonus episode detailing my finances. But thoughts and prayers for a strong refund, because I paid a shit ton in advance taxes this year and did not have the same level of year, which I knew I wasn't going to have. But I don't want him to be like, you're getting a state refund of $92 and a federal refund of $403. I want him to be like, Jersey owes you $2,000 and the feds need to pay the fuck up. So, because that's going to be my wardrobe upgrade. We've been talking about this for years now, but now I'm finally in a position. My jeans look baggy as fuck. They're like ridiculous. They don't stay up when I don't have a belt on. They did like when I went to see Elton John, they were like, please take off your belt. And then my pants, and I was wearing like striped boxer briefs. So a confident look, but not a look I just wanted all of Jersey to see. But then my pants were just falling. So I was just a guy checking into the Elton John concert in striped boxer briefs with his jeans falling to his ankles. And I was like, okay, somebody is a little too excited for Elton John. So yeah, it's time for a wardrobe upgrade. I'm going to get some suits. As I've joked before, you know, in case I do any TikTok videos, you got to have a suit. Nobody wears a suit to any function anymore. It's like, hey, I'm going to a Broadway play. Well, I'm wearing the good sweatpants tonight. Oh, I'm going to work. Well, I'll just do that in pajamas on Zoom. Oh, what's this suit for? Oh, for 30-second dance TikToks. Got to look sharp for TikTok. So I'm going to get a couple suits. I'm going to get some shirts. But what I'm aiming for, and this I will update, I want a refund in total between state and federal. I'm hoping for a refund in excess of $5,000 because I think that's what it will cost to revamp the wardrobe. We want to look sharp for the retaping. By the way, thank you everybody who listens to this podcast and didn't buy tickets. I was charting the numbers where I was like, guys, if you're coming to the show, please buy tickets. We were at X sold before this week's podcast went up. And after this week's podcast went up, we were at X sold. Not a single additional ticket. So as always, thank you for being the best fans in the world. But yeah, May 14th, the special taping, 9:30, Triad Theater, same location. It's going to be great. I'm now, like, I was never not confident that it wasn't going to be great, but it's going to be a really tightened up set with multiple new killer bits. So I think, as I think I said earlier this week on the regular, on the normal episode, that the album, we'd probably release the album from the first show, and then the special will be the second show, so that incentivizes people to buy, because there's going to be tracks that I don't do, and certain jokes told differently. So it will actually be kind of fun and good for real fans to hear both. But the special will be this May 14th show. So once again, April 26th, Buffalo, May 14th, New York City. And those ticket links are on my website now. And then July 14th and 15th, City Winery in Boston, ticket links. I'm going to send them my info today because now I'm going to be looking for as many April shows as I can. I left April clear because of my knee and the uncertainty around that. But now it seems very clear that I will be able to go travel or do whatever by, you know, late March, which is great. So hopefully I can line up more gigs for as warm-ups for the special taping and after, of course, because I'd like to actually do this for a living and not just for special events. So on that note, surgery went well. The staff at Midtown Surgical Center. I love them all, both for their wonderful care, their wonderful demeanor, and most importantly, the fact that they like my comedy. And I guess that's it, guys. So I would recommend watching We Need to Talk About Cosby. I was really kind of surprised at how good it was. The thought and care put into it, because you really leave with a complete picture of the talent, the impact, and the villainy. And the villainy wins out. Like, he is... You just can't... You know, he will always have a cultural impact, but it's just... man, it is... It is rough. Forget his, like, old black man anger, conservative kind of shit later in his career. Like, you could disagree with that or dislike that, but that... My God, it's just the assaults from the 60s until like the 90s or aughts. It's just fucking stunning. It's stunning, and it's whether or not there were ambiguous cases along the way, the cases they highlight are really just stunning. And I think when you see like Matt Lauer, a clip of Matt Lauer interviewing somebody now, Matt Lauer, I think, may have been accused of some things, but it seems like for the most part, if not entirely, his conduct was just that of a scumbag. I don't get me wrong. I think there was an accusation against him of assault. I don't know if that was settled, but it was not anything compared to the kind of Cosby or Harvey Weinstein like levels of shit. But I always remember watching Kimmy Schmidt, the first season of which I think is one of the greatest seasons of any comedy ever. But I was watching Kimmy Schmidt, and then I did a rewatch. I think once like they had a Kimmy Schmidt movie, I was like, I'd like to revisit Kimmy Schmidt, the whole series, even though season one was just so leaps and bounds better than the subsequent seasons. And Matt Lauer in the first episode is interviewing, like, you know, the women who were kidnapped. And he goes, one of the women says, well, I didn't want to be rude, or I didn't want to. And Matt Lauer goes, it is amazing what women will put up with just not to seem rude. And I put that on Twitter, like, in hindsight. I posted that clip on Twitter, and I was like, well, this hits differently, or whatever I said, because it was just like, oh, Matt Lauer is like probably relying on that. And that is what Bill Cosby relied on so heavily, is this idea of like drugging women who then don't even know that they've been raped. And so at the next day, they're like, oh my God, I embarrassed myself. So they leave like embarrassed, because they're like, oh God, I got drunk, I threw up. I was in front of Bill Cosby and I acted like such a fool, or I was so stupid. And it's kind of almost a natural reaction, because it's like, oh, it's Bill Cosby. Like, he's a talent, an icon, a philanthropist. So like, he couldn't, like, obviously it's not in like somebody's radar, most of these women, that, oh, he might have drugged me and raped me. Like, and they leave embarrassed until they kind of put it together, or Bill Cosby like tips his hand and later is like, that's our secret. And they're like, what's our secret? Did I embarrass myself? Oh, now I'm starting to think I didn't embarrass myself. I'm starting to think you're a vicious, disgusting criminal. So when the Matt Lauer thing just made me think of that. And it's almost like these guys rely on sort of social norms and their reputation. And I mean, that is almost like unspoken gaslighting. Like, the scenario itself makes you gaslight yourself. Like, well, it's Bill Cosby. I can't believe I passed out on Bill Cosby's couch. How embarrassing. Because you're not yet thinking, Bill Cosby gave me a drug and might have done something horrible to me while I was passed out. You're thinking, oh God, I was with this cultural and comedic icon who has done so much good for his community. Oh, how embarrassing. And it made me think of that Matt Lauer joke on Kimmy Schmidt, which obviously I assume Tina Fey did not know any of that when she wrote that joke for him, because it's an incredibly awkward, ironic moment in the show, because you're like, oh, that's actually probably, you probably delivered that line so well because that's your MO, Matt Lauer. But anyway, yeah, that's it, guys. I delivered the usual bonus episode, a little humor, a little slice of life, a couple of reviews. And what else have I watched? I don't know. that's it, guys. Just keeping you updated. So thanks again for listening. Hope to see you at one of those shows coming up. And I'm going to, you know, kick it into overdrive trying to get booked at different clubs. I've been getting a lot of requests for Michigan. And it's very, very, the one thing I will complain about on this episode, and I'll leave you, is Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase, Mark Ridley's Comedy Showcase, they won't return my emails anymore because they criminally underpaid as a feature. And, you know, they book people with smaller followings, but with management, and they don't return my emails, so fuck them. But Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase headlined me in 2019, and then obviously 2020 happened, and I tweeted at the club. I was like, hey, I've been calling and emailing for 16 months. Is anybody getting it? Like, what's the deal? And they're like, well, Roger, who is the owner, if you've listened for a long time, like, or actually this was like pre-canceling The Righteous Prick. This is an old iteration, but it was like, he's a really nice guy. He obviously was one of the few club owners who got me headlining work, who gave me headlining work, and I did well with it. My sets were great. And he had said, we'll bring you back in 2020. I'd love to get you like a 3-day weekend instead, because I just did a two, like a Friday, Saturday. He was like, oh, come back. I want to have you in the fall 2020 where you can get you like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, more money, obviously. And they were like, well, Roger's still, but he has cancer. And he had cancer and he was in recovery when I saw him. And I checked in on him once in a while. I think I said this last week, but not as cynical as this business is. It really was like, hey, I appreciate what you did and you're a nice guy. So, you know, just I met you and, you know, I having a rough go of it, but I think he was getting through it. He's still with us. But they were like, oh, Roger's still recovering, but he will get, but he got your message and he'll get back. I'm like, recovering, but you've been booking acts for a year. Somebody's booking acts. So can I just, no offense to Roger, can you forward my email to whoever's booking acts? Like, I have a bigger following than just about everybody you're booking right now. Like, I don't mean to be that guy, but it's like, what the fuck? Like, I've been wanting to come back to your club. I will get people in seats because I have a lot of Michigan requests and I've already performed there and done well. So it's like, oh, he's feeling, but who's booking would be my question. So there, I ended on a comedy complaint, but that's where we are, folks. That's the frustrating thing about this is it's like, even the places I have pre-existing relationships with seem to be fucking me over. And I don't exactly know why, but let's focus on the good news. I'll be running soon. I'll be stronger and faster and more fit than I've been in a decade by the end of this summer. And then I'll be able to transition from comedy to maybe like gay porn. Okay. Maybe there'll be opportunities there for me. Okay. And, so the point is take your oxy, feel good. Black Lives Matter. Bill Cosby's a scumbag and, get tickets to my special taping. Okay, that's it. Love you at the Midtown Surgical Center. This episode is dedicated to you. Episode? What the fuck was that? This episode is dedicated to the wonderful staff at Midtown Surgical Center and especially the anesthesiologist who stalked me and enjoyed my comedy. So thank you, and I will see you next Tuesday.